founder of the Teddy Cormier Park Initiative. Teddy Cormier is a serial entrepreneur and led lifetime focusing on innovative technology-related ideas, events, and businesses. In 2002, he enlisted engineers, entrepreneurs, environmentalists, and drivers to promote plug-in hybrids. By technology demonstrations, advocacy, and buyer demand. In 2006, he became the world's first non-technical consumer owner of a PhD. He popularized the 100 and plus mile per gallon goal and cleaner, cheaper domestic to describe electricity's benefits. Thomas Friedman is in his bestseller, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, said, Felix Kramer has made plug-in electric cars not only his passion, but an imminent American reality. So this morning, Mr. Kramer will speak about the big fix gas guzzler conversions. So welcome, Mr. Felix Kramer.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. There are about five or six seats right up front there. We're a little behind schedule. I'm going to try to go kind of quickly. This presentation is on our website now, as is a technical version of the presentation. Merci pour m'avoir invité à Montréal. Au homepage de Calcar, vous pouvez trouver un drapeau français et quelques pages en français. Traduit, merci à Vincent Dussault qui est ici pour the volunteer traduction. That's my car. It's the previous version of that has a picture of my car, the 100 plus mile per gallon car you've seen all over. It's traveled from Seattle to Washington. Its conversion saves 1 gallon per 100 miles. Remember that number. I'll talk about that a little later. This presentation is part of an ambitious campaign to bring a new approach to the agenda. We hope it will help you think differently about priorities in electrifying transportation. And let's see whether I've got my control here. This one here. Okay. So, if you remember where we were back in 2004, I'd characterize the situation as skepticism. No technical, no business case for plug-in hybrids. Nobody wants to plug in. Why are we doing all this? In response to that, we used conversions of hybrids as a strategy to build awareness and support. And we helped catalyze a campaign that brought us to where we are today. It was all about conversions, about taking existing vehicles and doing a line extension so that you had a Ford Escape hybrid. You had a Ford Escape, a regular vehicle, and a hybrid, and why not have one more? It was about the same thing with Priuses. From there, this effort moved to new vehicles like the Chevy Volt and the Bright Idea for 2013. And now we're actually going right back to conversions again. We're circling back, and now it's to retrofits, as Arnie described them, gas guzzler conversions. I like to think that books show how far we've come. Take a look. That's a pretty impressive list of books that have talked about this issue in central way. And there is our page showing where the car makers, basically every car maker, has said we're going to do something electric in the next 2 or 3 years. Plug-in America also has a vehicle tracker page, a new page that does a really good job at showing what all the vehicles are. Now, we focus on plug-in hybrids, and they focus on all plug-in vehicles. And for us, after 7 years, we are declaring victory. This is going to happen. It takes a lot more work. There's a lot more to do, but we will have those vehicles on the road. Now it's the challenge to have a successful commercialization. And so basically, our next campaign, we call Fixing Gas Guzzlers. The first time along, we used this, kind of a gimmick, to show that we didn't need new technology and we could connect to today's infrastructure. And now what we're going to use is we're going to take a construction worker or a hunter and show a battered pickup truck and say, that vehicle can be fixed. And it can give that person onboard power, which will be very valuable as well. So we launched this campaign. The lower right is a picture when Andy Grove, the former Intel CEO, was the keynoter at Plug-in 2008. And he's flanked by Ali Amati with his Ford F-150 pickup and Andy Frank, the inventor of the modern plug-in hybrid, with a GM vehicle. And that was really when we started on this whole new direction. These are pretty complicated to look at. They're on our website, and they're also part of a white paper. I encourage you to read it. Basically, this is the why for the campaign. And the reason is that it's all about market penetration. New plug-in vehicles, 15 years from now, will still be a drop in the bucket of the 250 million cars on the road, vehicles on the road in the U.S., the 900 million in the world. These charts show an assumption of a 10x more rapid market penetration than hybrids, which after 10 years are 2 or 3% of new vehicles and 1% of the fleet. And if we go so much faster than that, we still, in 2020 or so, we're not having the impact. We're a small 15-20% of the total market of vehicles. So these show the number of vehicles. The black line is new vehicles, and the green lines are conversions, and they show how we can get there much faster. So these are charts showing the market penetration, and then here on this page you see the petroleum reduction. If we were to have meaningful petroleum reduction in the next 10 to 15 years, we won't get it from new vehicles. We have to have it with conversion of existing vehicles. It's a controversial issue, but if you look at the numbers and you look at the projections we heard about in the last couple of days, you'll see that the number of new vehicles just doesn't do the job. So that is the why for this campaign. A secondary why is the fact that 10 to 20% of the energy, total energy used by a vehicle in its lifetime, is embedded in the production of the vehicle. So if you can take advantage of that and fix that vehicle, you can use that energy. So our perspective is, let's electrify 20 or 30% of the vehicles on the road. And if we can power them 20 or 30% by electricity, that would be massively more of an impact than the new vehicles. And we're agnostic about all electric or plug-in hybrid. It depends on the drive cycle of the vehicle and the design of the vehicle. So this is our roadmap. This time, conversions are not a strategy. They are the objective. And most importantly, we are not talking about do-it-yourself conversions. If the automakers are not involved, this cannot scale. And so the big challenge here is not simply to make the case and to prove the business and technical case, but to get the automakers involved. That is obviously a really hard challenge, but the payoff is new revenue streams for automakers and dealers and green jobs everywhere converting these vehicles. So I'm going to take you through as part of an exercise to convince you on a technical basis that this is real and achievable, some of our poster children of what's going on right now in small companies that are barely viable, that need our support, they need our people to purchase their prototypes, and we want to get them out on the market. This is the vehicle that was at Plug-in 08, Professor Ali Amati, the Andy Frank of power electronics, basically. That F-150 goes from a 15-mile-per-gallon pickup truck, the most popular vehicle in America for 20 or 30 years, and with scaling up to the F-250, 350, 450, and the similar design of the conversion to school buses and municipal buses. So that pickup truck goes from 15 miles a gallon to 30-mile all-electric range, and after that becomes a hybrid at 21 miles per gallon. Amati estimates that in units of 100,000, that could be sold for $10,000 to $15,000. That's the stake in the ground that we've placed. That's what we need to get to. And so go back to my vehicle, you know, it goes from 50 to 100 miles per gallon, saves a gallon per 100 miles. If you take a 10-mile-a-gallon vehicle and you make it a 20-mile-a-gallon vehicle, you save five gallons per 100 miles. We get it wrong in the United States because we talk about miles per gallon instead of gallons per mile. It becomes obvious when it's reversed, but it's a really hard point to make in the U.S. for reasons that escape me completely. Here's another one, a Canadian company in Vancouver. They're taking a Ford Escape, internal combustion engine vehicle, making it 100 mile per gallon, all-electric vehicle. They're working with a network of Ford dealers and rapid electric vehicles. We hope that they will that you will become their customers. Bright Automotive, the Rocky Mountain Institute spinoff in 2013, aims to have a fully optimized vehicle. They are putting their engineers to work now until they raise the money and get that going to take a VW Transporter, which is a world-known vehicle but not used very much in North America, and they're converting it to similar specs as Ali Amati's vehicle. And we hope that they'll do it with Volkswagen. At the moment, they don't have that deal yet, but we're looking for that to happen. Razor Technologies took a Hummer H2 and made it a series plug-in hybrid. And most importantly, that's the first time that GM cooperated with them and gave their engineers the ability to talk to the engineers at GM. That's really an important precedent for that conversion. Efficient Drivetrains is the company that Andy Frank has started while remaining a professor at UC Davis that's providing design services globally. Here's one that a lot of people are skeptical about. We haven't seen the specs on it yet. It's basically a bolt-on wheel motor, and as wheel motors become cheaper, then we're not talking only about big, heavy vehicles for conversion, but passenger vehicles, any vehicle where there's room for the batteries. So we hope that we'll see that showing up. This is a company that won the Cleantech Open last year and has a modular system for a variety of vehicles. This is my favorite, perhaps, Neil Young, the singer, with his Lincoln Continental conversion. And he's written a song about it, and he's got a movie coming out about it. EV Power Systems, some of you may know John Dobbles from EV One Days. He's working on a conversion system as well. So that's a range of companies. You can find them all on our ICE conversions page and click through to their websites and learn about them. So that was technology. Now we get to the business side. The business side has to start with incentives because prototypes are expensive. Yesterday, Genevieve Cullen described EDTA and other people's spectacular success in the U.S. in getting incentives for plug-in vehicles, and we're looking at that as well. So right now, among the things that she described is the fact that for the first time in the U.S., there is a 10% tax credit for conversions up to $40,000. Meaning a $40,000 vehicle would get a $4,000 credit. Ali Amati's vehicle would get a $1,000 to $1,500 credit, which is not really very significant. Remember that we spent $4,500 in the United States to crush vehicles. It would be awfully nice if we could apply those funds to fix vehicles, not to crush them. Colorado has taken the lead with a $6,000 credit that applies to conversions. And so we're launching a campaign to try to take that $7,500 tax credit, which is based on watt hours of the battery, and say a pickup truck or an SUV or a van that has a similar kind of kilowatt hour pack deserves that kind of a credit as well. And so we're launching that campaign with talking to NGOs, people in component industries, legislators, and so forth. We're not going to the car makers about this until we won't be laughed out of the room. But we will eventually go to them as well. And we have an endorsement page on our website that describes this in a page, and then has a very, very broad, non-committing endorsement that individuals and organizations and companies can provide to help join this campaign. Okay, in Japan, the postal fleet has committed to convert 1/4 of 22,000 vehicles to all electric. We're hoping that a similar situation will happen with other postal fleets in the world. And in Canada, in this document that was just released, we're really happy that there are two places in it where conversions are specifically called out as part of the program. So we hope that that Canada will take the lead on this, and in particular, the new Ontario program. We hope that that $10,000 credit for rebate for vehicles will be applied to conversions. We hope the people in this room will help make that happen. We would like to work with you to do that. At that point, if there is a $10,000 credit for conversions of vehicles, we think there will be a near-term business case, and obviously as the cost of components come down and as other kinds of incentives come into play, we think that this turns into a viable global opportunity. So this is our key themes at this point. Good enough to get started. Like in 2004, this is good enough to get started. End of business as usual. Grove in 2008 called for converting 4 million vehicles in 2 years. What that reminded me of was Al Gore saying, let's clean the grid in 10 years. An aspirational goal, but one that reflects the fact that we have to declare an end to business as usual, that we cannot afford to wait for something that is obviously beneficial, but where the business case remains to be developed. The other points here, the two that I would highlight are the fact that this can provide new revenue streams for car makers and dealers to round up these vehicles, to have licensed installers doing validated, approved conversions that are safe and drivable, not as good as new cars, but if the car makers can agree that to fix their vehicles, that provides them with a new business model instead of simply building a vehicle and saying goodbye forever. They'll act like other companies. They produce a product, and then they help upgrade the product over a long period of time. That's a different business model for the auto industry, and we hope that that we can get there. So how can you keep up about this? We're going to, right on our homepage on the upper left, is a link to a page that has a lot of this information. We encourage you to look at the white paper that's on web page and in PDF version that has a lot of the numbers and links to spreadsheets about it. Our endorsement letter is at the lower left there. And we hope that some of you will pick up on this and basically come up with the same commitment and intensity about the importance of this as we have. We are your resource for this. Calcutta's News, which used to be every day or two, is much less frequent now because there's just too much going on the track. So we're increasingly focusing on conversions and providing information so you can subscribe to it or you can look at it online. This is a campaign that basically up till now, the first 2002 to 2009, for me, it's been the most satisfying thing I've ever done in my life. I really feel like I and a lot of other people have accomplished something really extraordinary and inspired a lot of people in the world to the idea that we can make a difference, that a small number of people can actually affect change. Now, this is what we're doing now, starting all over, is equally daunting. But I think it's possible to transform not just the new cars, but the cars that are on the road. And we can make that difference, and we hope we can do it globally with your help. Thank you.
Feel free to go to the microphone. Yeah.
Do I need